It's the final round of your vacation stories. You seem to grasp what we're looking for.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it again. Thank you very much to all of those who sent in letters.
All right. First sub round, we'll deal with weather. Here we go. It was December 1972. My friend and I had been in Tempe, Arizona for a month of fun and were headed back to Wisconsin for Christmas. We were caught in a horrific ice storm in the Texas Panhandle. Oklahoma, Missouri, and southern Illinois also were affected. Those states have no idea what a plow or sand or salt is.
We've heard that.
We had traveled for 36 hours going a reckless 25 miles per hour and needed a rest. We pulled off at midnight in Carbondale, Illinois, and went to the Holiday Inn. After stepping over bodies sleeping everywhere, the desk clerk said, "Sorry, not even floor space, but the local county jail would put us up for the night."
Man.
Off we went, and sure enough, they would put us up, but we'd have to go in a cell, and they had to lock us in.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're going to be here, play along.
Clang went to cell, noisy as heck with the prisoners, but I slept like a baby, not so much my friend who was worried they would find the hash oil in his pocket.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing at the county jail with hash oil?
Leave it in the car, yeah. At least.
Next day, they awoke us with a tin cup of black coffee and a donut on a paper plate. At 8 a.m., they unlocked us, and as we left, I asked if I could take a shower.
Can you not and just go home?
Sure, they said. I kept looking around during the fastest shower I ever took. No one else came in during it. I dried off and away we went. My first and only time in the slammer, I sent a nice thank you letter to the sheriff.
Oh, there you go.
More weather.
Okay.
My husband and I flew to Los Angeles for a short weekend trip. Our original flight home on Sunday was supposed to leave in the morning, but I switched to a later flight to try and see more of the city.
Sure. Yeah. Reasonable.
Unfortunately, I had no idea severe weather was coming into the Midwest. When our flight left L.A. bound for Chicago, it was supposed to be a five-hour flight. The storms were so bad in Chicago, they closed the airport. So the pilot tried to fly into Milwaukee. Instead, we flew up through Minnesota to be able to come down through Wisconsin to fly around the weather. But General Mitchell Airport also closed.
Oh! How much time have you added flying up to Minnesota and back down?
Stand by.
Yeah.
We ended up landing in Des Moines, Iowa at 2:30 in the morning. Our five-hour flight ended up being almost 12 hours stuck in the airplane.
Wow.
Oh.
Worse for me, the guy in the seat next to me was completely hammered, and after hitting on me, my husband was right there for about 2 hours straight, passed out on my shoulder, not to mention the baby screaming and the projectile vomiting in the back space of the plane. We ended up having to rent a car and drive straight through from Iowa back to St. Francis because my husband had to work the next morning. That's got to be bad. You're right there
don't
in St. Francis.
Traveling?
The airport's
there. Yeah, 5 minutes away.
If you could have just put her down on the freeway.
Then they landed someplace you have to drive. Yeah. My husband ended up being almost 2 hours late for work. My mom was pretty upset at her wasted drive to Chicago, and we were exhausted and sore from first being stuck in the plane, then the impromptu road trip. Disaster of a trip, and I will always be checking weather in the future.
There you go. You'll learn something.
Sure.
One more weather entry. The summer of 81, my girlfriend and I decided to go in on a Coleman tent and use it at Mothy Lake for a week. Though it wasn't difficult to set up, it did require two people. The weather had been excellent, and we were having a great time drinking, horseback riding, yada, yada, yada. One afternoon, after drinking, I fell asleep in the tent. My girlfriend may or may not have been in there when I nodded off, but I woke up suddenly with the tent canvas on half my face and could see her staring at me with my other eye with a genuine look of concern. My first thought was, what did you do? But also noticed that nearby sirens were going off. A storm had moved in that quickly, and it was... It was if there was no gradual increase.
As if, right.
Okay.
Sure. It was just pow on them.
It was 1 to 100.
Full-blown tornado, rain, lightning, and thunder. The rest of the tent collapsed, and we had one chance to grab what we needed and get to the car. Still in a sleepy stupor, I trapped on the way out of the tent and took a faceplant on the cooler, leaving me a shiner that any boxer would have been proud of.
Oh, jeez.
We got in the Ford LTD and decided to wait it out there. Trees and limbs were coming down everywhere, and one large branch narrowly missed the tent. The area started flooding, and within no time, it was submerged. As the storm let up, we knew our parents would be worried, so we decided to call them from the phone booth by the beach.
That's old school. We got to find a phone booth.
Yeah.
I like that.
We didn't wait 81. Long enough because moments after my mom picked up, lightning struck across the lake, sending an instant electrical shock through me. I don't know if I believe that part.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. We move on to sickness. When I was a kid, my family went on an incredible vacation. They took their Disney-obsessed 9-year-old girl, me, to see the princesses and parades at the happiest place on earth in Florida.
Sounds good.
The vacation had two parts, the parks on land in Disney World and then a Disney cruise.
Wow,
this kid is living.
This is the best vacation ever.
The parks were a blast. Nothing went wrong, so I'll skip to the part you're all here for. The cruise was everything you would expect from the happiest place on earth and more. Plus, my aunt and uncle pulled out all the stops and booked us on a cruise that stopped in the Bahamas.
Okay.
We had a chance to participate in Dancing with Dolphins private show and got lunch after at a stand in a not the very best part of the Bahamas. The next day, instead of going to one of the shows and activities on the ship, I destroyed a bathroom in our cabin and had a fever that clocked in at 103 degrees. The ship's doctor didn't have a clear diagnosis for me, but he gave me the choice between an antibiotic shot or another way to put an antibiotic in.
Sure. Suppository. Mm-hmm. Why are you asking a 9-year-old girl, what do you want, a shot or a suppository? Don't you just tell them?
Being 9, I was terrified of needles, so guess which one I chose. I was quarantined to our cabin for 2 days while on a Disney vacation. I was a pathetically sick and heartbroken little girl surrounded by people having the time of their lives. They never really did diagnose what it was. They still didn't figure it out, but the staff gave me a collectible metal-themed trading pin as a special souvenir for being a brave big girl.
Aw. With a suppository.
I was still stuck in the cabin. Yeah. All right, let's see. Here's something different.
But if anyone's going to give you a suppository, aren't you glad it was Disney?
Sure. Happiest suppository on earth.
While driving back from California, we decided to stop in Holbrook by the Petrified National Forest for the night. I think you've ever been to that park.
I haven't. Nope.
As we approached the town, we noticed a police roadblock for all the lanes leaving town. Since we are entering town, we rolled right in. As my friend gassed up the car, I decided to go inside to find a small souvenir like a keychain. As I looked through the merchandise, the attendant said the larger pieces were out back. So I stepped outside, but since it was dark, I could only make out vague shapes of round objects. Upon returning back into the store, I said, I don't think this is going to work. As my friend walked in, the attendant said, any piece out back is $25, but needs to be purchased tonight. I don't know why that is. My friend and I looked around and dragged in the largest piece we could find, weighing over 75 pounds. This is petrified wood, right?
This sounds shady all of a sudden, but you got to take it tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the lam.
Right.
The transaction was made, and we were off to the hotel. After settling in the hotel, we decided to take a short walk over to a convenience store to pick up some snacks. While we walked to the store, we noticed police cars slowly driving past.
The police are back,
sure,
right? That was
yeah.
There's some sort of manhunt going on
yeah.
here.
All of a sudden, a police car came at us at a high rate and slammed on the brakes. A police car... The police got out of his car, weapons drawn, and told us to hold our hands up.
Yeah, okay.
In seconds, we were surrounded by half a dozen squad cars. I turned my head to the left and saw a female officer with a shotgun an inch from my temple.
Whoa!
All I could think of was, we should have never purchased that damn piece of petrified wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minutes later, we learned there was a bank robbery just before we got to town, and one of the suspects looked like me. Luckily, the suspect had distinguishing tattoos and a scar. 45 minutes later, we were free to go. There's a My Cousin Vinny.
I was just going to say, it's My Cousin Vinny.
Was that 45 minutes with a shotgun pointed at his temple?
Jeez.
And why did the petrified wood have to go that night?
I don't know. That part of the story I didn't get. But
they were in
a little misdirection. All right. You've been keeping track of the bad stories. This is bad. My dad liked to take my brother and me on individual trips for bonding time. And when I was 15, he took me to
Las Vegas.
Lake Tahoe.
Oh,
same thing.
Okay. Prettier, though. Prettier.
It was a summer of 1983. While there, he thought it would be a great idea to go to the casino. This is from a girl, by the way.
Again,
so
another
brother
girl.
Was,
sure.
He found an out-of-the-way slot machine in a corner and had me sit there, gave me a bunch of quarters with the instructions to stay there and play the slots and don't move or go anywhere until he comes back to get me, since, of course, I was 15 and should not be in a casino at all.
Dude, is there a pool? Can
this
she go?
This is bonding time.
Yeah,
this is bonding time.
What do you think?
Well,
they sent the story in.
Yeah, he went back to play blackjack. About an hour or so later, a man who, in my 15-year-old perspective, looked to be about 110 years old, came over to invite me to go have drinks with him.
Oh, what?
I politely declined, however. He did not want to take that as an answer, and so he continued to come over and talk to me and try to convince me to go just get one drink. Finally, my dad came to rescue me from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad put you in this situation.
Exactly.
And he looks at my dad and says, "Sorry, I didn't mean to bother your lady."
Again, sir.
As I probably looked horrified at the comment, he then said, "Or whoever she is."
Yeah.
Meaning worse.
Oh, my God, that was even worse, yes. My dad told me, "You don't have to tell Mom about anything."
Yeah.
The time I left you at the slot machine.
And well, that is even, this is even worse. Here we go. This is worse. This is worse than
how long have you been sitting on this one?
Just a couple.
Okay.
But there hasn't been, it's not like there hasn't been plenty to sit on.
No, of course.
The whole family went camping up north to our cabin. We always knew the other families that went, so we would get together with their kids. I was about 15 at the time. Once again, a 15-year-old girl.
Yep.
This is from a girl. I was about 15 at the time, and my brother was 16. We gathered up the others and went into the woods to party.
Okay.
Sounds familiar.
Everyone was underage and afraid to get some beer at the local bar. My brother said, "I'll take care of it," and proceeded to walk out of the woods where we all waited and walked straight over to a group of hard-looking bikers.
Her brother approached a pack of bikers. All right.
Hey, when you want a beer and you're 16.
Right. Well, you know, the bikers may be your most sympathetic group.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
you know?
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I couldn't hear the whole conversation, but I did hear one of the bikers say, "So, we get you beer."
Oh, God. No,
and you give us your sister, right?
What?
Oh,
what? What?
I turned heels and ran like a bat out of hell, running through the woods with no flashlight and ended up falling over a cliff I forgot was there.
Oh, jeez.
As I rolled to the bottom, I dusted myself off and thought, "I'm going to freaking kill him," and continued to run all the way back to the cabin, plotting my revenge.
Can you even tell your parents that your brother was going to trade you for beer to bikers? Because you're not supposed to be in the woods drinking.
It's a rock and a hard place.
Continued to run all the way back to the cabin, plotting my revenge. I got him good. I got him back good, but promised to never tell anyone. The revenge was that good. No word on what it is.
Oh!
Well, I feel a little cheated now, but it is our first run into human trafficking.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Let me get this straight.
Sure.
We get you beer. We get your sister. Yeah. Holy cow. Greg never did that to Marsha.
Greg was hot for Marsha, that's why.